Good morning, and welcome to another edition of Studies in the Gospels right here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea, your host for this program, where each week we examine the life of Christ as found in the four Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And today we're going to be looking at the events of the Transfiguration as recorded in Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 13. This is also recorded in Mark chapter 9, verses 3 through 13, and Luke chapter 9, verses 28 to 36. Peter had made the confession of Jesus as the Christ, and the Lord had now told the apostles that he was going to die at Jerusalem. Jesus had taught the disciples that they must be willing to suffer persecution for his name's sake. He had promised them that he was going to establish his kingdom during their generation. The Transfiguration events would have a great impact upon the hearts and minds of the apostles. Let's go now to Matthew chapter 17 and verses 1 through 13. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, and do not be afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Now, as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then did the scribes say that Elijah must come first? Jesus answered and said to them, Indeed, Elijah is coming first, and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah has come already. And they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished. Likewise, the Son of Man is also about to suffer at their hands. Then the disciples understood that he spoke to them of John the Baptist. So now let's go back to verse 1, and let's dig into our text now. Verse 1. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves. So we see that Jesus takes the inner circle of Peter and James and John with him. It is interesting to note that Matthew, the writer of this account, was not one of the 3 taken by Jesus. Yet, there is no sign of bitterness in the narrative. The majority of scholars believe this event took place on Mount Hermon, but not all agree. verse 2, says, "And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light." Jesus showed the three apostles the transformation of his body. This was done to teach a glimpse of the mystery of his nature, even that which he would assume after his resurrection. Recall John chapter 1 and verse 14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." This incident would also further teach the three apostles about the completion and the end of the law and the prophets. To behold this glimpse of glory and preview of the same glory with which he would ascend to the Father. Notice verse 3. "And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him." Luke's account reveals that they spoke of his coming death. Notice Luke 9 and verse 31. "Who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem." We see Moses and Elijah. We do not know how they recognized them. It could have been revealed to them by inspiration, or perhaps they picked up on it from the conversation. We could speculate that Moses and Elijah would be representative of the law and the prophets. Jesus fulfilled the law and the prophets, and this would be very representative of that which he would fulfill at the cross. Verse 4. "Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, 'Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.'" Again, another classic moment from our brother Peter. Luke's account suggests that this event took place at night. Luke 9:32 said, "But Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him." It was the next morning when they came down from the mountain, according to Luke 9 and verse 37. Peter offers to build three tabernacles, one for Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Peter was attempting to put Moses and Elijah at the same level as Jesus. Jesus did not rebuke Peter, but the next events clearly demonstrate the error of Peter's actions. It was truly a good and true statement for Peter to blurt out when he said, "It is good for us to be here." The somewhat frightened and certainly amazed Peter was about to be even more overwhelmed at what happens next. Verse 5. "While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud, saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him.'" Notice that the light of verse 2 was that of Jesus. "And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light." The voice here in verse 5 overshadows them. by verse 8, Moses and Elijah have disappeared. The Father now speaks to man through his Son only. The old things have been done away with. Notice the 3 points to the statement of the Father to mankind. 1, this is my beloved Son, of course, being Jesus. 2, he is well pleased with Jesus. And 3, hear ye him. The command to hear him was given in the presence of Moses and Elijah. Jesus has preeminence over the law and the prophets. Again, hear ye him. Notice 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 to 18. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitness of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Now go back to our text in verse 6. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and do not be afraid. Imagine the thoughts of the disciples at this time. The Lord Jesus had told them of his coming death and resurrection. They had just seen the transfiguration and his radiant glory as he spoke with Moses and Elijah, who had not been seen for centuries. And if this was not enough, now you hear the voice of the Almighty. You can understand the reaction of John to a glimpse of glory better now that we read of in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. Now back in our text, notice that now it is Jesus who comforts them. He says, Arise and do not be afraid. Now though we cannot hear Jesus in the same manner today, we are still comforted and encouraged by his divine word. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7 says, Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Also, 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18 say, Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Verse 8, And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Now as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. Notice they saw Jesus only. This is the whole point of the Transfiguration. We are to hear Jesus and him only. We understand that things written aforetime were for our learning, and this we should study and learn. But for salvation, there is no name but that of Jesus. He has all authority, and only what he binds upon man is that which we must do. Remember Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. And he put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Our only access to the Father is Jesus Christ. John 14 and verse 6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus charged them to descend from the mountain and to remain silent about what they had witnessed. Let's pick up in verse 10. And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? Jesus answered and said to them, Indeed, Elijah is coming first, and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah has come already, and they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished. Likewise, the Son of Man is about to suffer at their hands. Then the disciples understood that he spoke to them of John the Baptist. The Jews had believed that Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6 spoke of a literal return of Elijah to earth. Notice Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. This prompted the question of the disciples. Consider Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3. It says, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. John the Baptist was the Elijah to come. Remember Matthew 11 and verse 14, And if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. Just as John was put to death, so would be Jesus. Jesus plainly stated that John came in the spirit of Elijah. This makes utterly false the premillennial doctrine that Elijah is going to return and witness to the world before the second coming. Yes, there are great lessons for us in the Transfiguration. The great question today is, Do you hear ye him? I want to thank you for joining me today. If the Lord wills, we'll meet again at this same time next week here on Studies in the Gospels, here on the Gospel Radio Network. Remember, this program will be replayed this evening at 11 p.m. Central Standard Time, and posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. So, until I see you next time, this is Chris saying so long, and I hope you have a wonderful and blessed day.